It gives me great pleasure to introduce this most fitting gospel team. They're a blessing to me. And we love them. We're glad they're here with us today. Mark and Donnie. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I told Donnie when we came up, this is like coming home again. We love coming here, and we hope what we sing today will touch you. We never know what we're going to sing until we get here. We just pick songs. So hopefully it'll bless you as much as it blesses us. Listen to the prayer requests. It's good to know that we've got an awesome God that we can take our cares to and our troubles to. I love this first song. It's called How Great Is Our God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Long see how great, how great is our God. Now age to age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Now we'll see how great, how great is our God. Name above all names, and worthy of all praise, my heart will sing. How great is our God? Name above all names, and worthy of all praise, my heart will sing. How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great, how great is our God.
We do serve an awesome God.
Amen.
All right, Donnie, why don't you jump in there and get us one, brother?
Mark, a while ago, he was talking about, we're glad to be back. This seems like our old country church is what we call it. And that's what we're saying, the old country church. Start to play dear to me that I'm longing to be with my friend at the old country church. All with mother we went on our Sundays we spent with my friend at the old country church.
Just
years of memory.
Memory.
the old country girl.
Precious years,
our mama,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me. Friends at the old country church.
Now I wish that today all the people would pray to be at the old country church. As the only confession Jesus surely will bless, as he did at the old country church.
Precious years
of my memory,
sweet memory.
Oh,
what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. With my friends at the old country church.
Old country church.
Old country.
Amen.
Church.
Well, this next song. Do a couple songs. Me and April, we just celebrated Easter. What a wonderful day for us. The Lord came back for us. A couple songs that kind of go along with this. First one is called Mercy Walked In.
I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, now how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains, they were broken, and I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Good job.
Thank you. Mercy walked in. Oh, my goodness. Over 2,000 years ago, Christ died on that cross.
Amen.
For us. today. That sacrifice he made back then is for us today.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I've made mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. So such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face, and thorns upon his head, and the blood that stained his scarlet robe, it stained it crimson red. And though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For when he was on his mind, he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. So I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. So when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his.
Y'all like this, and this is a old song. Is how can you refuse him now? I don't know how anyone can refuse him, but they do. So we'll have to pray for them that do. This is a true story. Are you ready, Mark? Oh, I thought you were waiting. There's a story, oh, it's often been told. How our Savior died as they nailed his hand. He cried, they don't understand that the blood flows from his side. How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? As he hung there on the tree, and he prayed for you and me. Things no one could eat. Just before he died, he faintly cried, Father, forgive.
Turn it over to Brother James here.
Brother James.
My favorite song. I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I've sown. Drink from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus. Yes, I do. And that makes me rich enough. And I thank God for all his blessings on me and the mercy he's bestowed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms. And yes, there are times I know when my faith, well, it got a little thin. But it seemed like all at once those dark clouds broke and that old sun started shining again. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I've hoed. Drinking
from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy, oh Lord, to help another bear their load. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. A fine job as always. We appreciate you so much. While they're moving their equipment, I want to say a word of appreciation to, like I said, the mowing staff, those fellows that come and mow in all kinds of temperatures and changes. We appreciate also our security team we have here at the church. There's security provided for you, and you don't even know it. And we appreciate them. If you need a question answered about the mowing fundraiser, please see Bobby Thomas. I'd like to say a word of appreciation also to Jose Fernandez and Bobby. They rebuilt the trash can enclosing area. And the children's church are going to the fellowship hall, and we appreciate that ministry too, praise the Lord. Any children that are here? But you have to color within the lines. That'll knock some of you out, but if you'll make sure that door's closed there. But anyway, we appreciate you being with us today, and we do want to remember Pastor West as he's traveling. I did get a call from my cousin in Tennessee last night, and it seems that Wayne is never married, and he is looking for a wife, and so he put a bulletin in the local newspaper, and I said, Wayne, read it to me. He said, Tennessee farmer wants wife, must be interested in farming, and own a tractor. Please send and enclose a picture of the tractor. A little bit more interested, I think, in the tractor than he is the bride. Well, he did say that they had an incident down there Friday. He and Everett, my other cousin, were going down the mountain there to the town, Johnson City, Tennessee, and as they passed the Baptist church there, there was a dead mule in the front yard. They got out and checked it. It was dead, graveyard dead, dead as a hammer. So they called the pastor, and the pastor come over there, and he didn't know what to do with the dead mule. So he called the animal control, and they said, well, we don't pick up dead animals. We'll come and help you if an animal is, you know, dangerous, but we don't do dead animals. Said, call the maintenance department. And so he called the maintenance department, and they said, well, said it's on private property, we can't really help you. But if you get the mayor to agree to tell us to come over there, we can come over there. So the pastor hesitated because the mayor has got a bad temper, and he flies off the handle real quickly, and he's just an ornery person. But anyway, he didn't know what to do, so the pastor called the mayor. The mayor was all upset, and He did lose his temper. The mayor said to the pastor, "Well, what in the world are you calling me for?" He said, "Isn't your duty to bury the dead? Why did you call me?" The pastor said to him, "Yes, sir, it is my duty to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the first of kin first." So he didn't tell me the end of it, so I don't know if they got rid of the dead mule or not. But we're glad to have you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for today and pray that you would control by the Holy Spirit every word, every thought, every movement today would be according to your will. We never want to displease you or disappoint you. We always want to lift up the Lord Jesus, and we trust that we'll do that. You've given us a great opportunity here, a great church, great building, great people, and Father, now is the time that we want to lift up Jesus because he's the great Savior of the whole world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It's a classical passage that talks about the rapture of the church. Now, you don't find the word rapture in the scriptures, and I'll be reading today from the King James Version. If you don't have a Bible or can't see one from your neighbor, then there are King James Versions in the pews, and you should be able to see a Bible. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul writes to that church, and he said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who have died and in the Lord and gone on to be with him. He don't want you to sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And in verse 18 he said this, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You'll hear this passage of Scripture quoted many times at funerals because of the comforting effect it has upon the people. As we've studied in our Bible study on Wednesday nights, we have arrived at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Even though it deals with kingdom moral laws and kingdom information, you can get all kinds of applicable verses out of there that are good for this age, the church age. Well, in one of those verses, he tells us that the wide gate leading to destruction has many people that follow that way, that pathway. There are many people that go that way. And he said, but the straight and narrow, he said, is few. Now, this passage of Scripture is comforting words for the few, for the believers, for the born again, for those who know Jesus as their Savior, because it tells us that Jesus is coming back for us one day and get us out of this world in which we live, which gets worse, seem like, day by day. With every passing legislative move, things change and things go, seem like, farther away from the Lord Jesus Christ rather than closer to him. And so the few are comforted. They're always comforted. Here in the Bible, there's words of comfort. And he said, comfort one another with these words, he said, because I'm coming back for you. I'm going to come back, said, I've prepared a place for you. And I want you to be with me. Well, those are comforting words. But then I began to think about the many that go in at the wide gate, which is a broad way, and he said, many go that way. appreciate the song that the brothers sang about how can you turn him down? How can you resist him? How can you say no? But many people do. So as I begin to think about that, and I always do this for wherever I go to preach, I say in the very beginning, as I start to study, I say, Lord, you know who's going to be there, and you know what they need. So here I am. Tell me what to say. Tell me the message that you want delivered to the body of people who will come to that church that day. And so this tailor-made message is just for you. Somebody here needs it, whether they're in the building or listening out in the parking lot by the radio or whatever. But this message is for you. So as I said, I began to think about the many. What comforting words could we give to them? And so I decided, well, as the Lord led, those that would be left behind, because as you see here, he's talking to believers, and he said, you will be picked up. You'll be caught up. That's the word harpazo in the Greek, snatched up. That's where we get the concept of rapture. That's where you'll be jerked up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it says in the book of Corinthians. So what about the many that will be left? So I decided, as the Lord led, this is your message. And it is the benefits of being left behind. The benefits of being left behind. Now, you have some benefits if you've decided that you don't want to be a part of this. You don't want to be a part of the rapture. You don't want to be a part of knowing Jesus as your Savior. You don't want Him. And that's your right. You have a will. You see, God has created us with a will. You make that decision. He said, whosoever shall call shall be saved. And he said, to those that receive him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. So to be saved, you have to do something. You have to make a move. You've got to exercise your will. And you have a will. You can say, no, I don't want it. So what are the benefits? First of all, I figured this out as the Lord was leading me through this passage. Well, if you're unsaved, you don't have to leave your home. You can stay in your home. If you're unsaved and the rapture takes place, you can stay in your home. The rest of us will be leaving our homes, but you can stay. You've been working on it all these years. You've been paying on it all these years. You've been painting it all these years. You've been mowing the yard all these years. You've been fixing it up all these years, and you can stay there. You can stay in your home. You don't have to leave. And guess what? Your neighbor, if he and his family were saved, they're gone. You could go over and get all his stuff. He wouldn't let you borrow that mower, but you can go over there and get it, and he don't need it anymore, and you can bring it over to your house. If he's got one of them Teslas, and you find the keys, you can drive it over in your driveway. You don't have to leave. You don't have to give up your home. You can stay in your home. And you can have whatever you wish. Because these people who have left aren't coming back until 1,007 years. Did you think about that? They won't be back for 1,007 years. So you've got plenty of time to go over. If he got a 60-inch screen, black and white, colorized and motorized, and 200-channel TV, you can bring it over to your house. You don't have to leave. Well, what else? I thought about this. You don't have to put up with them pesky Christians anymore. You don't have to listen to that anymore. You don't have to worry about people coming and knocking on your door. You don't have to worry about people saying they're praying for you. You don't have to worry about those Christians trying to give you tracts. You don't have to worry about being invited to church anymore. You don't have to worry about that. and they look down their nose at you as you're mowing your yard on Sunday. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Little Martin, 5-year-old, was late coming to Sunday school. The teacher said, "Martin, I'm glad you come to Sunday school." He said, "Yes." Yeah. Said, "My daddy brought me and told me to come into Sunday school." And she said, "Well, that's wonderful. Did your daddy also tell you why it's important that you come to church on Sunday morning?" And little Martin said, "No, he just said he didn't have enough bait for both of us." You don't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You can do anything you want to. You're going to be left behind. You won't be a part of that. You'll be in a different world. Look with me over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just a few pages over from where you're at in 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe not a lie, as you have in your King James, but the lie." So what will happen is that you're left behind. You won't worry about those pesky Christians anymore. You don't have to leave your home or job or some of your family, perhaps. You can stay. But what's going to happen is that you're going to accept that masterpiece of Satan that steps on the scene and says, "I have got all the answers." And you will think about that person and you'll say, "You know, that person is good for our country. That person is good because now he signed a peace treaty with Israel. And he said that they can go back and have a temple, and they can go back into that temple, and they can do all kinds of their sacrifices, and he's going to let them do all of that. You know, he's going to be good." The Bible says, because you have not received the Lord, you'll be sent this delusion. And the thing about it is, you see, that you had heard about the gospel. You had heard how that Jesus died on the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, how he paid the price for every sin that man would ever commit and had committed. You heard all of that. You knew it. You could recite it. You had heard it. People would give you tracts about it, and pesky Christians would come by. Even when you sat down to eat, you wanted to eat your meal while it was hot. No, what did they want to do? Pray. They wanted to pray, and the bad part of that was you had to hold hands. Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore, because you had heard and you had wasted all of the chances that you had to be a part of this group that's leaving, and now you're going to believe the lie. You're going to follow the Antichrist. Well, turn over to Revelation chapter 13, just a few pages on. Revelation chapter 13. Now, this is You believe the lie. You believe in him. You've accepted him. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 13, look in verse 16. "He calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Well, as you've accepted this individual, you've used up all of your chances to be saved and to be a part of that group that goes to be in a new home. But now you can keep your home. You don't have to worry about all this. You're among friends, so to speak. And now this person steps on the scene and he says, "I tell you what, let's make it easy. Let's make it real easy for people to buy and sell, and that is, we'll put a mark on your right hand or in your forehead, either one, and you can just scan it. You know, you go to the grocery store, and I started out working part-time after school in a small mom-and-pop grocery store, the husband and the wife, and they had this big machine. It was about this big and stood up about this tall, and it had, looked like to me, 400 buttons on it. And when somebody would come in and get stuff, she would write it on a pad, and then she'd go over and she'd punch that, and she'd have to pull the handle. And she'd punch it, pull the handle. I didn't have to do that. I didn't want to do that, because she could get it all done, and then she'd know how many times to pull it to get the total. Well, you know what they do now? They don't even punch it in. And they run it across this little screen, and it scans it. It's got a barcode on it. And whatever you do, don't ask them for change. It's a deer in the headlight. Don't ask them to change a dollar or change something else or give them more money than what. If it's $19.50, don't you dare give them the 50 cents because they'll be so confused they can't figure it out. Don't do it. It's so simple. And my lieutenant has something on his phone called Apple Pay, and he touches a screen with his phone and gets to walk out. Don't try it unless you have Apple Pay. Doesn't work. We're ready for it, aren't we? We're ready for this mark. We're ready for a mark. We're ready for this to be done. The world is ready. So if you are left behind, one of the benefits is you don't have to worry about the card. You don't have to worry about cash. You can get the mark, scan the mark. It puts in there your account as to who you are, what you got, all the above. So simple. Then over in chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation. Chapter 20. You see, not only do you not have to leave your home, you don't have to worry about this thing called eternity. You don't have to worry. All that's settled up. All that's figured out. And you don't have to worry about it. Because there's going to be some people going out and telling about Jesus and preaching about a kingdom that's coming and all of that. But you can resist all that because you won't be given another chance. You wasted all of your chances. A person who's never, ever, 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 ever heard the gospel gets a chance. They're known as tribulational saints. And they can be saved. And they'll hear the gospel of the kingdom because that's what's coming up next is the kingdom. But as far as you, if you have heard the gospel and you don't want to go and be a part of that group that's leaving, then you can stay here. You don't have to worry about these pesky Christians. You can accept that person who's going to be the masterpiece of Satan. You can get his little mark. You can make it easy for them. You can scan it. You can do all of that. You can be here. You can stay here. In your eternity, this is what's going to happen. This is how it will work. Look in chapter 20 and verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whoever was not found written in the book was cast into the lake of fire. Well, you see, if you die before that group leaves, before that rapture of the church, then you've got to go to that place called hell. And you've heard about it, and you've known about it, and people have told you about it, and you've made jokes about it. Well, I'm going to go there, and I'll be among friends, and I'll bust it wide open, and you've made all kinds of jokes about it. But if you die without Christ, that's where you're going. You're going to that awful place called hell. And the Bible says there was a fellow went down there one time, and you know what he reported back? He said, Abraham said, I tell you what, said, I'm tormented in these flames. That indicated to me that he could still feel. He had feeling. He said, I'm thirsty. How about having Lazarus over there dip the finger in water and this what stays on the finger, put it on my tongue? Abraham said, we can't do it. And another thing I found out about that gentleman was, when he reported back, is that he had feelings and emotions. He said, listen, I got four brothers over yonder, and you send Lazarus back over there and tell him not to come to this place. Abraham said, we can't do it. There's a great gulf fixed between the two of us, and we can't do that. This man had feeling, can you believe it, in hell. He had emotions. He had memory. He remembered his family in hell, and he asked for them to be warned not to come to that place. Well, now, you've turned it down all these years. You didn't want any part of that, but you've got to be at this. You can't miss this event, Great White Throne. You're standing there in line. Hell gives up its own. You sort of, I sure am glad to get out of there. And you stand there, and as a line, and you probably ask somebody, who's that up there on that throne? You know what they're going to say? That's Jesus. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He died for the sins of the world, but you chose to take and pay the penalty yourself. Oh, is that what I did? Yeah, that's what you did. So you get your turn and you stand before Him. And you say, what are those books? Your partner says those books contain every sin that you ever committed. And they begin to go through the books. Every sin has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. It's a transgression. Forgive us our debts. There are transgressions and debts before the Almighty God. They got to be paid for. Somebody has to pay for them. If you get to the Great White Throne, you're paying for them. You pay for them. Now, some people won't have as many books as others. Some will have many books because God is righteous and fair and honest, and He gives the penalties according to the books that are there. And you say to yourself, now wait a minute, there's got to be a mistake. I was a good person. I did this. I gave to feed the children. I did this. And I didn't do all these bad things. I never robbed a bank. I didn't do anything. I just did good. Jesus said, okay, you appealed your decision? Yes, I appealed my decision. He says, check the book of life. And they look at the book of life, and you and I talked about that one time. We had a demonstration here, the book of life, and his name not in there. The name was not in there. And then you must go to the lake of fire. The lake of fire for eternity. Because you said, I don't want it. I exercise my will. God gives you that right. You have that will. You can say no. Many are going that way. And some of the benefits, you don't have to leave home. You don't have to worry about Christians anymore. You don't get another chance because you heard it and you turned it down. You don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. But when you get to the Great White Throne Judgment, now let me tell you about something that is in Leviticus chapter 16. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to tell you the story. Leviticus chapter 16. They had the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, they had the veil, the Holy of Holies, you remember. The priest could only go back there once a year with blood for the sins of the people. In Leviticus chapter 16, God said, bring me two goats. Bring me two goats, and I'm going to cast lots. He said, go ahead and cast lots. One will be for me, he said. Now, in casting lots, don't think that that is chance or God was using chance or luck or anything of that nature. Listen, if you're a child of God, strike the word luck from your vocabulary. Don't wish people luck. Don't let people wish you luck. Don't believe in luck. Don't say, well, I was lucky today. Because what you're saying is there's another entity out here called luck. And if I carry something in my pocket, if I bow to it, if I pray for it, or I wish it, or whatever, I need it, or people have wished luck on me, there's another entity out here that can help me apart from God. You know what that is? That's idolatry. That's idolatry. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't. Donald Gray Barnhouse said, man rolls the dice and God makes the spots come up. No such thing as luck. But they cast lots. And it was on one goat, and here's the other. He said, take this goat and kill it and spread the blood like the other sacrifices. This goat is alive. He said, Aaron, go in and put both hands on top of that goat upon his head. And it's the symbol of the sins of Israel being put on the head of that goat. And he said this, now take the goat out into the wilderness and turn it loose. He took it to the wilderness, to an uninhabited place. And in the Hebrew, that phrase, uninhabited, also means there's no foliage out there. Nothing for the goat to eat. Now, those of you that know goats and maybe got goats and had goats and seen goats and smelled goats, you know that a goat will eat most anything. You put it in a briar patch, you put it in a honeysuckle patch, you put it in a poison ivy patch, and it'll eat it up and clean it up. It'll eat most anything. He said, take that goat to an uninhabited, no foliage area and leave it. And what'll happen to that goat is that it dies alone. It carried the sins of Israel to an uninhabited place, and it died by itself, alone. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus, pure, holy, undefiled, spotless. Now, it was not by chance that Jesus was picked. He was chosen by God. This goat was chosen by God. There's this song, and I may have mentioned it to you before. Oh, what a Savior. I liked that song for a long time until I just thought about the first part of it. They searched through heaven and found a Savior. No, they did not. Jesus, the slain lamb before the foundation of the world, he was chosen by God. They didn't search anywhere. They didn't just pick others. They didn't go by others and finally pick him and ask him to do it. No. He was chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Don't sing that song. I shut my ears the best that I can when it's played, because that part of it is not biblical. This goat was chosen by God. This goat symbolically had the sins of all the world, Israel, placed on it. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, had all the sins of the world placed upon Him. And He went to the cross and He died alone by Himself. How do I know He was alone? The Bible says the disciples fled. They all run. Even His Father. God is holy apart from sin. Sin cannot come near God Himself. It cannot come near Him. He will not allow it. He's holy. Jesus was on the cross. The sin was placed upon Him. God turned His back on His only begotten Son. And Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" The reason was He became sin for the world. And He died alone. His Father even turned His back on Him. That's the symbol. And today, this is the symbol. This is the picture that you need to see. You can choose to say, "No, I'll pay for my own." But where do you pay for them at? If you decide to pay for them yourself, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire paying for them and trying to pay them off, and you can't pay them off. Jesus paid the penalty. He paid for every sin. Every sin that you've committed, every sin I've committed, every sin that everybody in this room has committed, He paid for them. And God said, "I accept that payment." The only way that you and I can get to God the Father because of our sin is to be reconciled by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way. Because in our natural state, we can't get there. We're not worthy to be there. The only way we can get in there. And you and I have the great privilege of going into the throne room of God. Would you bow with me, please? If you're not saved in our service today, these are some of your benefits. These are some of your benefits. You don't have to leave home. You may not have to leave your job. You may not have to leave your family or some of your family or some of your friends. You don't have to do that. You will be part of the group that votes for and supports the Antichrist, and whatever he says you will believe and you will do. And you'll get the mark and you'll say, "Oh, that's the greatest thing. I don't have to worry about a wallet. I don't have to worry about cash. I don't have to worry about anything. I've got a mark and I can buy or sell." But you have to realize now, part of the benefit package comes with, you get to go to the throne. You get to go to the great white throne. And then after that, you get to go to the lake. That's part of your benefit package. But I want to tell you about this Leviticus passage. It's a picture of Jesus. The sins of the world were placed on His head, so to speak, or His shoulders. God turned His back on Him and let Him die alone by Himself. Nobody around Him, nobody that cared about Him. There were people around Him, but they didn't care. One did, and He got to go home with Him. If you're not saved in our service today, I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to ask you to keep your head bowed and eyes closed. You make the decision. It's your decision to make. Nobody can make it for you. You may have come from a good Christian family, and praise the Lord for that, but they can't transfer it to you. They can't give it to you. They can tell you about it, point you in the right direction, pray for you, but to do it, you have to do it. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you're pleased. All things have been said according to your will, and that you are pleased, and that you've reminded us of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he died alone, and how sad that is. But he died knowing that he's paying the price for our sins. The benefits of rejection, or they're not real good, but at least people need to know these are your benefits. You can stay in your home, you live any way you want to, and you get a trip to the throne and a trip to the lake. Our Father in heaven, may thy will prevail in Jesus' name. Amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, as the Lord spoke to you today and said, so far you've said no, you've rejected, and I've told you and over and over, and preachers have said to you, and people have prayed for you, and people have handed you tracts, and people have sung to you, and what's your decision today? You got a chance right now to exercise your will and to be saved. But you'll have to do it. I can't do it for you. You'll have to do it. As much as I want to do it for you, I couldn't. Anyone, would you lift your hand and say, preacher, pray for me, because I now realize the benefits of saying no and the blessings of saying yes. Anyone, would you raise your hand? Anyone that I might pray for you? Anyone? May God bless you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time. And please guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Mark and Donnie, if you would, close us in a song. And then I'll have final prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Wow, what a sermon. Amen.
Yeah, that was good, brother.
I hope to see each and every one of you when we all get to heaven. I love this song. There's people that say no and refuse him. They think they can make it on their own. But we can't. That's what this song is. I thought, number one, would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, well, I've learned to stand. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
I think that I'll make Jesus my all. From now on, when I'm in trouble, on Him I'm gonna call. If I didn't trust Him, I'd be less than a man. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide, and down on my knees, well, I've learned to stand. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. It's down on my knees, well, I learned to stand. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Donnie, appreciate you. Let's all stand for a closing prayer. Bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, as we bow before you, we praise you for this day. Praise you for these who've come. Praise you for your word, that we can study it, we can learn it, and we can know what you have in store for us. Please bless, we pray, guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen.